tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
You are listening to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, 1770 Euclid Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. This episode is part of All Things Local, where we highlight D.C. history, culture, and communities, and Washingtonians who have made an impact on our city. I am your host, Ray Barker, an archivist in the Special Collections Department at the MLK Library. So today we are joined by multi-instrumentalist Hailu Murguia in a pre-recorded interview in his home, conducted April 14th, 2018. Murguia was a famous recording and performing musician in Ethiopia in the 1960s and 1970s. He moved to the D.C. area in the 1980s and became a cab driver. Today, Murguia lives in Fort Washington, Maryland. He still drives a cab, the Dulles route, and records and releases music and tours regularly in the U.S. and in Europe. So as you'll hear, we discuss his life then and now when we play selections from his recordings, past and present. And I wanted to share, I actually can't recall the first time I learned of Hailu's story and his music. And here was a man with a legitimate, authentic, and successful music career in his home country of Ethiopia. And he was driving a cab. And it just seemed like a story that was already made and ready to be shared. So if you conduct a Google search of Hailu Murguia, and that's H-A-I-L-U-M-E-R-G-I-A, you'll find stories from the Washington Post, the New York Times, and Downbeat Magazine about him and his music. His Bandcamp page has all of his music available there for download and purchase on vinyl and CD. And that's hailumergia.bandcamp.com. So without further delay, let's jump into that interview.
Hi. Today I'm speaking to Hailu Murguia. He is an Ethiopian gentleman who moved to the Washington, D.C. area in 1981. He was an Ethiopian musician and still plays around town these days. But I can't remember actually how I found out about you. I think it was in a Washington City paper article, if they did one a while ago.
Yes.
A couple of years ago.
2013?
Yeah.
City paper and Washington Post.
So I'm in your home today, and we're in where are we today? The name of your neighborhood here is...
You are in Fort Washington, Maryland.
Fort Washington, Maryland. Yeah, thank you. And we're about 15, 20 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. But I just thought I'd meet with you today to talk through your personal life and your musical life. And can you tell me what it was like growing up in what town and city were you born in Ethiopia?
Well, I born in the countryside of Ethiopia, like from the capital city. And then, you know, I grew up in the countryside, of course, as a shepherd. And then, you know, my life starts there. And then after that, I moved to Addis Ababa, which is the capital city of Ethiopia. And then,
So great. So you moved to the capital city of Ethiopia?
Yeah, from the countryside where I grew up, I moved to the city, the capital city, for when I was 10 years old.
Oh, okay. Mm. And then when did music enter your life?
When I was 14 years old, I joined to Army Music Department as a young army. We call it like Boy Scout. So that's where I started playing.
Were you required to do that?
No, it's not really. I just want to have some kind of job because of the to support my mom. So that's how I start playing. I joined the army, and then, you know, we start playing. I took some music lesson.
Oh, okay. And what was your first instrument?
Well, it was a piano, but unfortunately, I didn't stay long in the army. I left before I became like a regular army, which is after I took some piano lesson as a beginner.
Oh, okay. And you were around 10, you said?
That was when I was 14.
Oh, 14. Sorry, yeah. I missed that. And then, so can you tell me when did you start thinking that it was going to be a serious lifelong thing where it just wasn't a hobby or it just wasn't something that you enjoyed to do, but something that would sort of stay with you?
Well, you know, I just started like, you know, as a hobby, but after I left the army and then I start playing in a club. Actually, I was not playing any kind of instrument, but I start singing in a club. So it became like a fun for the first. And then, and of course, after a while, you know, after I sing different places, I took it like seriously. So it was like, it became like my profession.
So is this like the late 60s, early 70s?
Yeah, early 60s.
Oh, early 60s,
early,
okay.
Early 60s, yeah.
And so you're playing, what style of music is it?
I was singing like any kind of latest Ethiopian songs, you know, which fits in a club.
And that would be a vocal, sort of a vocal-focused kind of music where people are drinking and eating and listening to the singer, or is it more of a big kind of production? Do you know what I mean?
No, it's just a kind of like, it's like a small kind of a club, and sometimes it could be like a restaurant or it could be a bar. Mm-hmm. Whatever, any space I get, I just sing it. Sometimes, you know, people, they like it. If they don't like it, I just leave and I go to next door.
Right. So, and were you, and then was there some popularity? Did you become popular as you progressed through the 60s and the 70s? Or what did your music life look like then?
Well, I was not really popular, you know, but after a while, instead of singing, I started playing accordion. And then when I started playing accordion, I think I get a little bit of attention from the public.
Yeah, and were there a lot of other bands and musicians around doing the same thing that you were at that time?
Not too many. Like there were some musicians, you know, those or the army or bodyguard musician or police music department musicians. They were playing like as a part-time job, like on the weekend. Otherwise, you know, like we call it like civilian musicians. Just were very few.
And then you were living and working in the capital of Ethiopia at this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in Addis Ababa. And I traveled a little bit of some province, but most of the time I was playing in the capital city.
And then you had other work, other jobs? What were some of the other non-music jobs that you had in that time frame?
No, I don't have any other job.
Oh, you were
only music.
You're a full-time musician.
Yeah, because, you know, we're playing like almost like 7 days or 6 days a week.
Oh, wow.
So we just do music.
So night after night?
Yep, every night.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Different venues and clubs.
No, sometimes depends. Sometimes like maybe I stay like maybe 1 month or two. It depends on what the payment is. So, but I don't travel. I don't go from one club to another club every day. But I was thinking, I stay one place and then, you know, the next day, if I get some more payment, I'll leave to another club.
Okay. And were you a teenager? Like, how old are you when it became serious and you're playing night after night or day after day?
I think I was like 18 years old.
Yeah.
From 18 years old, you know, I became like very serious in music business.
And then you started playing accordion, and you said that maybe that was what was the instrument or the sound that developed a popularity. Like more people started coming to shows, or people started coming to you after the show saying that was wonderful. Like, how does the... What does that popularity look like?
Well, the popularity look like you know, because we play in a club, You know, a lot of people, they come to the club because they want to see what we are doing. And, you know, most of the time because of the music, what we play, like very latest music. And every time when you play like some latest music, what people like, of course, that's how we get the popularity or two.
And you, I don't want to keep you from drinking your tea there. You can take a sip. And then I wanted to know about the type of music that you were playing. These were traditional Ethiopian songs. I mean, would people in the audience recognize these as traditional songs that they would have heard elsewhere? Or would it just have been heard by these bands? You know, I'm trying to figure out how unique that music was to someone who would hear you play live. Or would they, you know, where would they have heard that elsewhere in their lives, somewhere else?
No, most of the popular songs were played by radio station and sometimes on TV. So people, they know the melodies, you know, before we played in club also, because that's how we just imitate, you know, from, we just take somebody's song and just do it our way.
Okay. And so we can get on to this. I found you through Bandcamp too. So a lot of your music is available on Bandcamp, current music, current recordings, and then stuff from way back. And so I'm holding a vinyl record from Awesome Tapes from Africa as the label. And you, the gentleman that runs that is your business manager and et cetera. Is that correct?
Yeah. Awesome Tapes from Africa is running by Brian Shimkovitz, which is my manager and my friend, actually.
Oh, good. Okay. So business and friendship combined together.
Yeah.
So I'm holding the record here. It's an Ethiopian Instrumentals 1977 release from a band that you were playing with. Can you tell me a little bit about the recording of this record and the band? And the title, actually.
Yeah, the title is Chebelo.
And what does that mean?
Chebelo means when you ride a horse, you just, you know, sometimes you just you want to speed up. So when you want to speed up, you just you know, just give him a little bit snap,
like encouragement, a command,
yeah, a command,
like, hurry up,
yeah. So
does that name apply to the music in a sense or not?
It is like it's a kind of a hero song, actually.
A what?
A hero, like what do you call it? Patriotic song.
A patriotic, okay.
Yeah, patriotic songs. But the title is, they call it Chebelo, which is like, go for it kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so the title of the record is just, the band is Hailu Mergia and the Walias?
Yeah, Walias Band, which is you know, the famous band back then in Ethiopia.
So they were famous, huh?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and so you connected with them somehow to record this record, or how did that come about?
Well, you know, actually, this band was like, this is like almost like my you know, we played together for a long time. So this is the band I played for a very long time until I came to United States.
Oh wow, so a long history. Mm-hmm. And then so you're in the cover is you. You're there at the what are you still, what keyboard is this?
That's a Krummer organ.
Oh, okay. Mm. And so these are all instrumentals, and I flip the record on the back, and this.
This is a member of the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so can you tell me a little bit about the recording of this record? Like, where was it recorded?
It was recorded in a gospel radio station in Ethiopia, which is one of the best studio back then.
Well, great. So, I thought we would play a track, and it's the first track of the record, the title song. And can you tell me some background about that? It looks like was it written by someone in the band, or was it written by someone else? A little bit of the history of that song?
No, well, that song is, we don't know who wrote it, but I know that's a traditional song. So it was arranged by Girma Bayeno, who is the piano player of the band and the singer. And by the way, this album was arranged by four musicians, which is the piano player Girma and the trumpet player Johannes and the saxophone player Mogas and Mulatu Astatke also he has some arrangement on this album. So it's a combination of four guys arrangement.
Oh, the whole album?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And I was going to ask, are you the leader of the group? I mean your name's on the cover of the album. Does that mean you were the leader and selected the songs, or you know what I mean?
Well, the whole project was my idea, and at the same time I'm the one who's playing the whole melodies on organ. So because of that, my name is there.
Oh, okay.
Full Service Radio. Full Service Radio.
That was a title track from Hailu Murguia and the Wailias band, Che Bello, and that's a 1977 recording. You are listening to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan. You're listening to All Things Local, and this is a conversation with Hailu Murguia, and music is provided by him. Let's resume the interview conducted back in April at his home.
So because of that, my name is there.
Oh, okay. So that's that track. And then we were going to talk about track number three, Yurkita. Can you see that?
Yeah, Ikurtala Munalo.
And then can you tell me a little bit about that song?
Well, that song's also like... composed by somebody, but I don't remember the guy's name. So, Yikartala Manalo means I ask your mercy. That's what the title is. And it was arranged by trumpet player Johannes Tokola.
Oh, okay. I mean, was this available in Ethiopia, and it was fairly popular, or do you know what I mean? Like, so you recorded the record and you were touring. and playing at shows, but how popular was it?
Well, this album was very popular. It was released by on album and plus on cassette. So it was really popular back then.
Yeah, and you had told me earlier that you'd been doing some other recordings before this record. This is your first commercial record, but you'd done some cassette recordings before this one.
Yes, I did.
And you were singing and playing the accordion on those?
Or? No, I'm just playing organ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and most of them are my arrangements. Oh. That's why I had this, I had four arrangers on this album, because all others, my cassette was arranged by me and played by me, so with a different band also, like with Dialogue. And so because of that, I just want to have some kind of different kind of sound.
I understand. And can you personally hear the different people? Can you hear the difference in the arrangements?
Yeah.
Person to person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The arrangement, of course, everybody has their own taste, so it sounds much, you know, different kind of arrangement, so,
right.
Which is good.
And then, so I this is 1977. Can you tell me what characteristics make up Ethiopian music on this record? So it's instrumental, but can you tell me, like, are there certain characteristics of the music in general, at least from this record or this period, that someone should be listening for?
Yeah, well, you know, when we start, you know, doing like the instrumental music, like without a song. Actually, I was the one who started, you know, on playing on organ.
Uh-huh.
But there are some guys who play with saxophone or with different kind of instrument. But when I start playing some melodies, also melodies with on organ, it was like kind of we start like changing the style of the music, how we start playing, like what I'm doing was like I just pick up any melodies and then, you know, rearrange them, and just I take the melody. I don't want to change the original melody, and then the arrangement is could be like from a slow music, which we can change it to fast rhythm, and then, you know, like we put some improvisation on that. So it's almost like back in the 70s and 60s, like it was a kind of like music revolution time, because there were some groups also, they do this, the same kind of stuff what we are doing. So this album was like special because of the arrangers and because of the recording studio, and there is also choir part on it, so that makes really difference. That's why the people like the album.
Yeah, I listened to it last night online, and the quieter sides I responded to. I know they call it funk or jazz or something, and you know it's rhythmic and there's horns, but the quieter aspects I liked it too. I like a lot of that. Those elements. But then, so you came to the U.S. in 81, and can you tell me the circumstances surrounding coming to the United States?
Yeah, at the end of 1981, we came to United States for a touring for almost for 1 year contract.
With this band, right?
Yes, with the Wallace Band. And then we had a tour like every different states. And then, you know, after that, we stayed like almost touring like for 2 years. And then after 2 years, you know, the band separated. And then half of, like four of us stayed here. And then the rest, four of them, they left home.
And so you had to leave your friends and family to come to the U.S.? Were you able to bring any friends or family with you?
No, I just came with the band.
And then was that difficult to do that, or what do you think?
And well, you know, we came up like, you know, through the one producer. So when we came, we didn't have it was good, you know, because it was our first time to come to the state. You know, well, the show was not really very successful sometimes.
It wasn't?
It was not, you know. It just
in general, but in some places, was it received well, or do you...
Well, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes not, but so it was not really appreciable.
Do you remember who you were playing with? I mean, who else was on the tour? Was it an Ethiopian artist, an African artist, or were there U.S.?
No, just Wallace Band.
Oh, okay. And that was it. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. But it was, so it was more a career professional opportunity that was really good.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then you stayed. You stayed in the U.S.? Did you go back home?
No, I didn't go back home until until 1991.
Oh, okay. So let's see. So you were on tour that whole time?
No, what happened was after the Wallace Band breakup, then of course I stayed here, and after that we formed with my friends a trio.
Oh, right.
So
you stayed in the D.C. area?
Yes.
But why the Washington, D.C. area?
Well, I think it's because of the community, you know, we have a lot of Ethiopians back then. So I think that's the whole idea.
To stay
in, you know, like, you know, kind of close friends here.
Okay.
With friends.
And we're in Fort Washington, Maryland. And is that where you settled way back in, I lost track of time here. Is this 81 when you first settled in the United States?
No, I used to live in Virginia.
Oh, okay.
In Arlington County. And then, you know, I moved it in Fort Washington 2001.
Oh, okay. All right. But there's an Ethiopian community in Virginia that you were able to find a home in or socialize with? Or what did that look like?
Well, you know, it's just like normal things, but I have friends who I meet, and sometimes, and you know, sometimes we used to play in some restaurants in Virginia. So it's almost like any other regular meeting.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. And all these people were met through the music.
Yeah, sometimes they come to the club and they listen our music, and after that, you know, the social life is almost like normal.
Yeah. And then, so you went back to Ethiopia in the 90s?
Yeah, I went back, with a trio band. We had a shows in Europe, like from Europe. Then in 1990, we went to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
And this is 1990?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So again, it was music and opportunity brought you back to Ethiopia to play with.
Yeah, us. Just to play with for some shows.
Okay, and then how long was that for?
No, we stayed there almost 3 months.
Oh, okay. And then you came back to the U.S. when that ended?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to follow the line here.
For sure.
So let's see. So then you started driving a cab, in the Dulles route, and that was in 1998.
Yes.
Yeah. And did you do this job back in Ethiopia, or this is something you took up here?
This is my first job to do, like, second job with the music.
Yeah, yeah. The second job is the music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was playing in a club also, you know, at night. And you know, after that, of course, it was not the trio was not doing well, so I started driving in 1998, like as a cab driver. I stopped playing in a club, of course, at that time.
And what were some of the clubs that you played at that time?
No, this is a story, actually, you know, let me go back. 1990, when I went to Ethiopia, when I came back here with the trio, 1991, we opened a club, like an African club on Georgia and Missouri location. So
Georgia Avenue in D.C.?
Yeah, Georgia Avenue and Missouri Avenue.
Oh, okay.
That's right there. There is a club. We used to run one Ethiopian restaurant with my partner, and then we played there like with a trio. Then we changed it to African club. So at that time in 1991, I stopped playing music for the public. So, and then I was running that club until 1997. When the club was closed in 1997, then I start driving 1998 a taxi.
But you stopped playing music completely?
For the public, yes. Otherwise, I was practicing, I was doing everything. So I was doing music, playing, and practicing, and plus doing taxi.
Okay, and were you recording music at that time?
Oh, yes, I did. I recorded two albums.
Yeah, two CDs. Where were those recorded?
I did it in my house.
In the house we're sitting in?
Yeah, I recorded it in my house. I have a 8-track recorder.
In the basement?
Cassette recorder. Oh. Now I just recorded in my living room.
So you just set up the mics,
yeah,
run the chords into the 4-track or 8-track cassette recorder?
Yeah.
And then you mix it here?
No, I mix it in a studio.
And you master it in the studio?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. And you're still... So the CDs I have here, were these recorded in your house?
No.
Oh, this is the 3P. This is the trio here.
That one is like, I have it here. It was not really popular. The CD was not released. It was not sold good. But
and why do you think that is?
Because of the advertisement. I was not doing well advertised about it.
Right, so there's no way for people to really know it's there, and there's no way to...
Some people, they got it because I sent the cassette to Ethiopia, and then, you know, somebody duplicated it, and they sell it. It's not really popular like other CDs I did, but it was okay.
I mean, do you think that would be more popular in the native country than it would be in the U.S. or is the music heard differently by Ethiopian ears versus Maryland ears? Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, well, you know, this is what happened. Most of the time, my music was, it's very popular in Ethiopian community, either outside or in Ethiopia. So that's a fact, you know. I don't know how many knows about my music before I became like playing for like a festival before 2013. I don't know. Exactly how many people they know about my music, you know, like Europeans or Americans. But I know the fact. Is like Ethiopian community, they know my music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Regardless of whether it's in Ethiopian or whether it's here or anywhere else, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, so can we talk through? Driving the cab, and then we can talk about the newer releases. But I was going to ask, but I assume you want people to hear the music. And know about you and know about your music and buy the CDs and the records and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But is that a priority for you or a concern, or is it more just recording and playing is what is of interest to you? Do you know what I mean?
No, my interest is both. Like to record some music which I want to record, and plus I want people to listen to my music also.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It works for both.
Yeah, and so 1998, you were started to drive the cab, and it's the Dulles route. Is there something appealing about that drive? Is there something that you like about that work?
Well, you know, of course, I like the job, and because I make good money for a living, so that's why I was doing it.
Yeah, and do your passengers know that you have this musical history?
Some of them they do, some of them not. Like some Ethiopians, when they see my license and when they see my name, some they recognize me, some of them not.
Is it something that you would ever bring up to somebody? Like if I got in your cab at Dulles and you drove me to my house and I said I used to be a musician, is that something you would ever bring up to say, well, you know, I play?
Is that, you know what I mean? Is that something that you would, that would motivate you to share that or not?
No, I don't share. If they don't ask me, I don't share.
Right. That's right. That's what I thought. I just wanted to know for sure. So we can talk about this. So the internet seemingly would be an opportunity to share your music. So I mentioned earlier your music's on Bandcamp. And so are you finding that people are able to hear music then? Are you getting any feedback other than someone like me contacting you? I mean, are you hearing from anyone out there about who you are and what you've done?
Well, since my comeback in 2013, and since Brian released my old music, and people, of course, they start to, contacted me, and especially they contact Mr. Brian. So because of that, like the popularity of my music, it became again like it used to be in Ethiopia, but with different listeners.
Oh, right.
Plus.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then so people can hear the songs there. They can buy the CDs and the records there.
Oh, yeah. We sell like whenever I go to any show, we sell some, or also carry some merchandise, and then we sell it there. And at the same time, they buy it from any internet. So.
Yeah, and just as a reminder, we're speaking to Hailu Mergia at his home here, Ethiopian musician who recorded in the 70s but has continued to perform and play up through today. We were going to play a track from the newest record, but before then, can you tell me when you are playing live with the trio? It sounds like these days, do you play around here in Maryland or DC, or are you out of the country, or where are your performances?
Well, I perform everywhere. It depends where the show business coming. Like everything is according to my agents. So, like next month, I'm going to Europe for May and June and July tour in Europe. So I don't know how long I'm gonna stay. And at the same time, here in the state also, I'm gonna have more shows, which is gonna come after Europe tour.
Yeah, and so we were talking through the band you're playing with now. You're playing keyboards, a variety of keyboards, the accordion and the melodica. Right. Mm-hmm. And then Tony Buck is on drums, mm-hmm. and Mike Majkowski,
yeah,
is on the string bass.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys are, we used to play together for a while, but now I have another trio which is located in Washington DC. So I'm traveling with a new trio.
Okay. And then these other two guys are from Australia, but they live in
Berlin
now. Yeah. And this looks like it was recorded in Falls Church, or some recording was done in Falls Church, Virginia.
Mm. And the original was recorded in London.
Oh, okay.
And then from London, I just dubbed some parts in Falls Church Q Studio.
Okay. So I have one more question about this music. So are these are traditional tunes, and then I see some original compositions on here.
Yeah.
And the album is, can you give us the album title?
The album title is Lala Balu, which is Say Lala. So the idea is like three old songs from traditional Ethiopian songs, very popular ones, and three are my new composition.
Yeah, and can you tell me that you write your original compositions in the style or manner of the Ethiopian style of music? Is that fair, or how would you describe writing your own music versus rearranging a traditional Ethiopian song?
Well, like if you take like the first melody, which is the first track, which is Tezita, like it's an original song, it's very old songs, like everybody knows that song. So what I did is like I played it in three ways. Like the first part is like the original, 3-4 beats. And then I change it to 4/4 beat. And then I change it to swing. So in one melody, I put three kind of version. So I do this kind of stuff. So most of my musics are like, I do this kind of like, instead of one rhythm playing, I played it in two or three kind of rhythm.
All right. And then so I was holding that album from 77 and describing it as what I saw online is, and I've heard it, sort of jazz fusion, jazz psychedelic-ish and funk. But then this new record with the trio, how would you describe this music?
Well, this one is almost like a cello, but the difference is like this one, it has more improvisation. Well, you have to listen to it. If you call it jazz, if you call it blues, it's the listener who's gonna give the grade. But to me, like I played it like in different ways from the beginning. Like I still have the melody, and then we have more improvisation and with different kind of instruments. That makes it different from all my album I did before.
Yeah, so you have a handful of albums between the 77 release and this current one I'm holding, which came out this year.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Also still on Awesome Tapes from Africa. Mm-hmm. So we're going to wrap this up, but I was just going to ask, we're sitting here in your living room, or dining area, I guess, here.
It's a reading room.
What is it?
It's a reading.
A reading room.
Yeah.
But, and your family is here, so how do they ever go see you live, or assist in your musical endeavors, or, I mean, what is their response to your musical life?
Well, my wife, she loves us, go back to music because, she was not really, she was supporting me to go back and play again, since I stopped playing. But, everybody's happy for what I'm doing now.
Yeah, they're supportive, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, great. So that's all I have. We were just gonna play that last track here, or the first track on the recent album. But that's it. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much.
So that was Hailu Murguia, music organist out of Maryland. I wanted to thank him for the conversation and the tea, recorded back in April of this year. So check out his music at Bandcamp. And we have an upcoming event from Special Collections at the 1968 Saving Family Treasures Personal Archiving Workshop, Saturday, August 11th from 1 to 3 at Bellevue Library. 115 Atlantic Street, Southwest DC. This has been an episode of All Things Local on Full Service Radio, broadcasted live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan. So please visit dclibrary.org to learn more about the library's services and programs. Talk to us online at DCPL on Twitter and at DC Public Library on Instagram. Listen and download the show wherever you listen to your podcasts by searching for Full Service Radio. Thank you and have a great day.